Marilyn Lurch, first of all, congratulations on your impending induction to the Sackville Arts Wall.
Well, thank you, Erica, and thank you for wanting to interview us. I'm pleased as punch.
Yeah, that's good to know. So, you know, you have the sort of the additional, special honor, honor is not the right word, but you're joining your partner on the Arts Wall. So this house is a real cultural powerhouse in the town of Sackville. So Jana Hammock is your partner, and she was inducted onto the Arts Wall last year, and this year your plaque will go up. How does that feel? Does that make for interesting breakfast table conversation?
Well, it's a possibility in the sense that I don't know if we're going to be side by side. But yes, we have laughed and talked about that possibility.
Tell us a bit about your career. Do you have a career as an educator and a writer? What would you say to someone who's just meeting you about, you know, your work?
Well, I think what's funny is that, and I think I probably will be saying this with the speech tomorrow night, which is basically a thank you to the community speech, really meant from the heart. But, when I was 22, I thought I was going to be a poet. I wrote that to my father, and he wrote back some lyrics that were really awful, and he said, well, he's a poet too. But I was really sincere. It seemed to be that's the way I was going, but that didn't happen until I was in my late 50s, and I was still teaching in Washington, and I realized that I was ready to retire as soon as I could, and I was in a writing group in Washington, D.C., and was a really interesting group of serious people. That is when I really started to, write some stuff that was interesting to me. I've always written. I'll take you downstairs and show you the journals. They're just there. So I hadn't written poetry. So that's what I want to say tomorrow night, is that I came to Sackville in 1996, and I was just ready to sit down. I was retired, and I could write. And it was a privilege, an honor to be in this town where I got so much help all along the way. And I wrote a lot and kept at it.
It's interesting that you talk about the help you got, because I think one of the comments, from the people who were, participated in your nomination, was that you have also played a big role in fostering the writing community in New Brunswick and in Sackville. You had a role as poet laureate here in the town. You were with the Writers Federation of New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you yourself have taken on a bit of the job of helping foster that. Is that work important to you too, in addition to your writing?
Yeah, the Writers Federation. I think probably the first week I was here, I got in touch with the Writers Federation, and it's been very important in my life to give me a sense of literary tradition, and also the wonderful people I've worked with. So yeah, I was president for a couple terms, and at a time when the Federation needed a little bit of pickup, and you do it because you have a board, you have an incredible executive director, Lee Thompson, so that was important. But the town established the poet laureate, and of course the first one was Douglas Lockheed. Again, that was an opportunity then to go into the schools, because as a teacher, I thought, oh, that's what we should be doing. And again, with Mount A students and with volunteers from the community, that's what we did.
So as a poet in this day and age, do you find, let's say compared to when you started, do you find poetry has waxed and waned over the years? Like, do you find it people pay it the mind that it should be paid these days in our society?
I really don't know how to answer that question. I mean, I think of I always go back. I think of Shelley handing out leaflets in Dublin for, trying to rouse a revolution. I mean, poetry seemed to be quite invested in the people at that time. So yes, I suppose it does wax and wane. I honestly don't know what effect it has today. You really don't ask yourself that question if you're writing. You're just doing it and kind of hope that you're getting across. Obviously there's so much in the way of taking in poetry directly because there's a lot of technological gimmicks that people have, myself included, that might interfere with an appreciation of hearing poetry live and that kind of thing.
One of your more recent publications is Disharmonies, a collaboration with local poet and professor Jordy Miller. Is that a project that you think sort of was born out of this small town life that you chose to arrive at?
It was born out of COVID. We just I don't know who initiated what, but here we were sitting in our homes and not getting out much, and we would start writing lines back and forth to each other and answering call and response, and then at a certain point, we said, "I think we're finished with that section." So we'd go on to the next and so on, and we didn't. It just went on for 12 sections. And then you have Keegan Hawthorne, who has, a handset press, willing to take on this, difficult job of finding the paper and putting out a beautiful edition. My goodness. So it was sure a collaboration based in part on the town, having people like Keegan around. But for I know for Jordy and myself, it just really was a it gave us some grounding during a time when I think we were feeling quite without much ground under our feet, just not wondering what was happening. So, and it turned out to be a very political thing because that's who we are.
I'm glad you mentioned politics because you yourself are you have a clear voice in terms of your politics and your vision of society, I think, that comes out. Where does that come from in your life and experience? Like, how did you build that?
Well, it just clearly came out of Vietnam. I was at university. There was a Women's Strike for Peace group, and I was working with them. And the first thing they were doing was raising money for the citizens in North Vietnam. So this was an incredible political statement at the moment. And just reading and talking to people, and we spent a summer in Bloomington going from door to door in a working class area and talking to people about Vietnam. I'm talking about early, 65, something like that. And then I left and ended up in Washington, D.C. So there was, then the anti-war movement was growing, and I was part of that. As I said, at one point, I wondered how long this was going to go on because I was teaching, but it was also a big part of what I did after 3:30.
All right. You've been an activist all this time.
Well, off and on, but certainly during those years, it was pretty consistent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And do you feel that sort of energy for activism and social change, that is that part of your work as a poet?
Yeah, definitely it is. So I've always, I think Adrienne Rich always was speaking for the people who couldn't speak for them, for themselves. I've kind of felt in that position sometimes, which I say with humility, that I could use my voice that way. And I've forgotten your question. Yeah.
Does your activism feature in your poems?
Yeah, very, it's very, very prominent. Trying not to be a headline chaser, because I take on things that I feel are very important, like the technological domination of the human being. That's a political statement, and it's very important to me to point out the dangers of where we're going with that, somehow not having a whole lot of solutions to that. But I said, kind of looking into that possible chaos that brings us to the point where people are not talking to each other anymore. And I think part of that is the technological imposition in our lives.
In your life now in Sackville, your beautiful home, how does your poetry work figure into your life now? Are you very active in that? You're still writing continuously?
As I said, COVID, I think it was last year, I looked in my files and I found out there were all kinds of poems there that were started. I was kind of amazed. So, there's a sixth possible collection of poetry if I live long enough. I'm writing.
Writing and working on, and you know, hopefully we'll have another collection at some point.
Yeah, possibly. It would also be nice to have a book of selected and new poetry. So if somebody wants to do that.
All right. Marilyn, maybe I'll get you to sort of wrap up by just telling me, you know, well, let's just talk about the arts wall in general. What do you think is the importance of having that recognition that along that walk by the Waterfowl Park? What do you think it says about the town?
I can't say enough about what the town has done to encourage art in Sackville. And also, you know, I'm looking around and I'm seeing people moving here who are famous, who have reputations that are huge. And I says that says something about the town itself. And the Arts Wall, you know, when you walk past the Arts Wall and you see the figures there, and you know that behind that are 10, 20 people in every category that could be on the Arts Wall too. And yes, it's just another example of the town taking this initiative. It's just incredible.